Blog Talk Radio. Hey, welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday, September 8, 2012. We're doing a rebroadcast of a show because we were just so proud to have Angela Taylor, Olympian Angela Taylor, come sit with us and chat with us prior to him going to the Olympic Games this summer. And lo and behold, he was a medalist, and he did his thing. I have to say, he did his thing. And with that in mind, we hope to have him back on the show to talk about how it feels to be victorious in your plight towards obtaining a medal at the Olympics. This was a very, very, very interesting Olympics, and it's still in my blood. I'm still really excited about it, even though it's over. I love seeing all the Olympians out and about making appearances and stuff, and he will be honored at the White House sometime this month, in addition to him being honored in his hometown. Well deserved. Congratulations, and we are just so proud to have you represent us. Go Team USA. We really love everything that you put forth for us. And now I bring to you the show.
Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coco Express Show. It is Aurelia Lyles for Monday, June 4th, 2009. I am so excited to be with you guys today. We are supposed to be having a wonderful, amazing athlete on our show today, Mr. Angelo Taylor. He is a two-time 400-meter hurdles Olympic gold medalist, and he is headed to I believe London. We're in the process of trying to connect with him at this particular moment. So I am going to just tell you how excited I am, because I'm excited about life in general, and everybody who knows me knows that. However, my excitement is going to go through the roof, basically because I am an Olympic junkie, okay? And I love the Olympics, and this summer is going to be an Olympic summer, so you know what that means. That means that we are going to have the wonderful opportunity to be able to sit back and watch reality TV at its best. But you know what? I should even put reality TV in the same sentence as the Olympics, because I tell you, the come on, for a few weeks, we get to see men and women represent their countries in the most positive, positive, nonviolent manner. We are allowed to share in their joy, victory, pain, and agony. We hear stories about familial sacrifices, personal trials, and wonderful accomplishments, and the wonderful accomplishments of these outstanding athletes. Now, it's not often that we get to hear their personal accounts of what it's like to have your country's flag worn over your shoulders as the world screams and shares your victory. Perhaps we will find out. We're trying to find our wonderful, amazing athlete at this time right now. See, a few weeks ago, we had the pleasure of having Mr. Peter Westbrook, a former Olympian, on one of our segments. And he talked about his retirement and how it was for him to transition from being a professional athlete. However, if all goes well, we will get the opportunity to see and find or hear, you know, about someone's account who is still in the game, going to the games, and that's the Olympic Games in London. I am sorry that I seem a little distracted and everything. It's just that I'm trying to make sure that I get this information over so that we can be able to contact him. Okay. And It's just wonderful to have this opportunity. I'm kind of excited because I am an ex-track and field junkie, I guess you can say. And that is not a bad thing. It's a good thing if you really must know. I even had my daughter participate in the sport for a minute there as well. And it was fun. It's a really difficult thing to do, to train in that particular manner and on a constant basis and continuous. It's a mind thing. It's a physical thing. It's just so many different things that are involved in training. And I act as though I have no clue about anything because I even tried my hand at coaching some young kids at one point. And that was probably the most fulfilling thing that I've ever done in my entire life, to watch them develop and see them grow as far as their physical ability is. And it also helps you build character as well, because it teaches you things about yourself that you never really would have expected, like setting goals. And it teaches you how to just believe in yourself, because 99% of the races that you run are won in your mind prior to you even stepping on the track. And that's probably one of the most difficult things to wrap your head around, is that you are the one who's totally in control of the outcome, because it's all a mental thing. And I have to say that, you know, it's really a wonderful place to be if you have the opportunity to be able to get there. And it's a wonderful place to watch people strive for, you know, from the spectator's perspective, I guess you can say. Now, I'm going to just slip away for a second to see if I can dial in and get Mr. Taylor on the line, as we are excited to have him, and we just have to wait and see what happens because, you know, live radio. So you're going to hear the dialing and everything, and hopefully we'll be able to connect him. And this way we'll be able to speak with them. So in the meantime, I have to say that this weather has really been interesting. We have finally been placed in a position to have actual spring and summer weather, and I have to tell you, my allergies have really been driving me up a wall. I didn't know that allergies can really knock you out like that. And I have had moments where I just didn't think that I was going to be able to get up, and sometimes the headaches are just out of this world. Now, I am going to do my best try to move this forward, and we'll just kind of talk about the whole Olympic experience. And I can tell you that I am, as I said, an Olympic junkie. When I was a kid, my family, we would all sit in front of the TV set and we would watch the Olympics with so much enthusiasm, and it would be so much fun because you would think that we were actually participating in the races. And I think other than track and field, my favorite was the swimming. I'm not a good swimmer. I do know how to stay afloat, but I'm not a good swimmer. But I think swimming was probably one of the ones that I really enjoyed the most because of the fact that it was something I couldn't do. And I was just amazed and just so in awe at the talent that was in the water and how fast they were swimming and their different abilities. And I especially liked it when they flipped under the water and stuff. That was probably one of my favorites. And let's see. And I have to tell you that if I could swim that well, I probably would be in the water right now, because I love the water. I just like it. Unfortunately, I get to live vicariously through the Olympians when they do that. And I do like to watch the the trials as well. But I'll tell you a funny story. I was trying to train for a marathon at one point, the New York City Marathon. So I was trying to do all the things that you need to do to be able to get yourself in shape for a marathon. So you have your cross-training sessions. So I decided that I was going to try different things. So I took a class at Alvin Ailey's. Well, I took a couple of classes at Alvin Ailey's as my cross-training days off from running. And then another day, I wanted to try deep water running because I thought that this was going to be something really amazing for me to do. It was going to be an experience, deep water running. I'm a runner. Of course I can run in water. Well, let me tell you, this was the most hilarious situation I had ever had in my life. I get there, and it was in the middle of the day, and there was nothing but seniors in the water. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be a breeze. So I put the belt on, and I get in the water, and the instructor, she tells me to go stand over to the side and everything. So there I am. So I'm watching them do the routine so I can get a hang of what they're doing. And I'm saying to myself, oh, this should be easy. I'm looking and looking and looking. And so then they tell me, okay, now you do it. I thought I was going to drown. And so there I am floundering all over the place and everything. And the seniors are looking at me and everything. So I'm watching them run back and forth in front of me. And I'm feeling like a total lunatic at this particular time. And one of the seniors, she walks over to me, goes, don't worry, honey, you'll get it. And I'm like, huh? So eventually I start to get the whole process and stuff. Now, they're breezing past me like it was nobody's business and stuff. And there I am, sweating bullets, and I'm not even moving. I thought that was just the funniest experience. But I have to tell you, when I got up the next morning, I could barely walk. And it was just so funny, and I'm like, you know something? We sometimes underestimate the ability of people based on appearances, and that was my case. Here I am thinking because I'm training for a marathon, I have to be in the best shape, and I can jump into anything, and I can just do it. That was not the case, and I learned the hard way, and I have to tell you, we can learn a lot from a lot of these seniors out there, and that was my lesson. However, I did go back and do it again, and with that in mind, I had learned the routine, and I was able to hang with the seniors, and I felt really good. And it was really interesting because I had a similar situation with the class that I took at Alvin Ailey's. I thought that because I had danced in the past, I would be a whiz at taking these dance classes as well. I tell you, I don't know if you ever saw the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode when Aunt Viv decided she was going to take the dance class and she kind of like crawled out the room. Well, that was me. I thought everyone was going left, I'm going right. Everyone was turning and I'm bumping into people. I was just a hot mess. And all of this was because I wanted to be able to be at my best when I competed, well, didn't really compete, but participated in the New York City Marathon. I did eventually compete in the New York City Marathon, and I did finish the race, and it was an experience that I will never forget, and I'm glad I did do it. However, I won't do it again. But it was just so interesting for me to think that because I'm able to do X, Y, and Z, I could do A, B, and C. Not always the case. We really have to train and try and work hard and learn how to perform other things outside of what we understand and what we know. And we really need to take instruction from people who have the experience and who have the ability to show us how to do it. And I guess that's probably what it takes to be an Olympian. And we're still waiting for our guest to call in. And I'm hoping they're going to call in soon. I mean, I can tell you some more stories because believe you me, I got plenty of them because I'm always out there trying to do something and I'm always out there finding out that I'm not that good at that either. But I don't give up and I continue to try until I get good at it, which is probably one of, I say, my strong points and my best or better qualities and everything. Now, bear with me for a few seconds. I'm going to try to see if I can find out exactly what's going on, and then we can probably go forward and I can tell you some more stories about my road to try to stay in shape. I think that's what you would call it, the road to trying to stay in shape, and which is very interesting because, I don't know, I keep trying to stay in, and I'm in decent shape. It's just that I'm always getting into something. I always hurt myself in some way, shape, or form, but not intentionally and not on purpose, but it just seems to happen. Give me a minute, and I'll be able to tell you exactly what happened in the park one day. And this will probably crack you up, too. Let's see. Okay. Another situation I encountered, which was really funny, too. This was after I had participated in the New York City Marathon, and I was in the park trying to stay in shape, because now it was just a matter of staying in shape. I was in Prospect Park in Brooklyn, and I was doing my little routine and everything, and I guess I was going a little bit faster than I thought, because I was in really good shape. I have to admit that I was in fantastic shape. And so I started my run, and I was trying to keep my pace because I wanted to maintain that particular pace. It was comfortable, and I was fine with it. Well, you should not, if you wear glasses, don't go to the park without your glasses, because as I'm running, I trip over this huge tree branch, hydroplane, land at this man's feet who's sitting on this tree trunk. And he just looks at me, and he has this real thick Jamaican accent, and he tells me, I think you were going too fast. He didn't ask me, are you all right? Can I help you? Can I help you up? All he said was, I think you're going too fast. And I just had to look at him. I said, oh, thank you very much. I got up, and when I got up, my knee was all jacked up, blood running down my knee and everything. So me being a trooper and sometimes silly, I continued to run, but I had to stop because the blood was really running down my leg, really, really, really heavy. Mm-hmm. And I said, to myself, what the heck is going on? Hold on for 1 second. I think my guest is here. Hold on, please. Oh, okay. I see him. Okie doke. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this Angelo?
Hello?
Hello, Angelo?
This is
me. Well, yes. Well. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I know you were listening to me and my tirades about me trying to be an athlete and killing myself.
Yeah, I did.
I kind of do that a lot.
From somewhere.
Huh?
I said you got to start from somewhere.
Oh, let me tell you, it started when I was 12, and I still haven't gotten it right yet, okay? Now, Mr. Olympian, okay, Mr. USA, USA, how's it going?
It's going very well. You know, I'm in great shape right now. My training has been going very well. I've had some early competitions that have been very successful. So, you know, I'm in a good place right now.
That is excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, okay. So you are headed to London, correct?
Not just yet. I still have the Olympic trials coming up.
And that's in Eugene?
Which will be held, yes, that'll be in Eugene, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of this month, last 2 weeks of this month, and then it's off to London.
All right. So you said you feel good, you're in good shape, your mind is right, so there should be no reason why you're not going.
Exactly. You know, I'm in good shape. My mind is right. My spirit is right. So I'm good.
Okay. Now, we're going to travel back in time a little bit to your beginning when you started this journey. I understand that you come from athletic parents, correct?
Correct.
So, your dad?
Correct. My father, my father was an athlete. He played college football and, as well as ran track. So that's where I definitely get my my athletic ability from.
That is excellent. Now, did you participate in other sports besides track and field?
Yeah, also in high school, I was I played football as well as basketball. So, and I had scholarships in both both sports, but track was my most successful sport, and I felt like there was one I can really showcase my talent in. So that's why I chose track and field.
Oh, wow. So you could have been on the NBA?
I think I very well could have if I would have really put my mind to it and trained hard. I'm a very competitive athlete. And, you know, just knowing my skill set and how hard I train, how hard I work, I probably could have went to the NBA as mm-hmm. well as the NFL, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, so.
Okay. Now, were you always really good at this, or did it come from, you know, working hard and stuff?
It definitely came from a lot of hard work. You know, I had some humble beginnings. I had a lot of last place finishes at the start, but you know, I stuck with it. Had to learn the sport, understand the sport, and really learn how to run. And you know, training was difficult, so it took me a few years to really catch on to the sport. And then once I caught on, I just blossomed.
You mean you just breezed through it, huh?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, you went to Southwest DeKalb High School in Georgia?
Yes, ma'am.
And then from there you went to Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I got an athletic scholarship to Georgia Tech.
Now, did you feel that college-level competition was easier than high school or vice versa?
No, it was definitely stiffer competition. High school, I pretty much, you know, destroyed the competition in high school. But, you know, it was a little bit more competition out of college. My freshman year, I had to really adapt to the training and to the competitions, because we basically competed almost every weekend. And being from Georgia, we only run outdoor track and field. So when you mm-hmm. go to college, you have an indoor season as well. So I had to adapt to indoor. But it took me a while to catch on to it. But once I caught on, you know, I was able to adapt, and I had very good trainer partners at the time. One of the reasons why I chose to go to Georgia Tech, because the coach at that time had coached two Olympians from the 96 Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to train with those guys, so I learned a lot from them. That's how I excelled so fast.
Okay,
I was really running times on the world level, and was ranked number 3 in the world my sophomore year.
Wow. Now, why hurdles? Because that, I mean, the 400-meter hurdles is one of the most difficult races, I feel. Why that? I mean.
Yeah, It's a difficult race. When I first started out, I was just trying to find my place in track and field, and then having been such a great athlete, you know, I could hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
So I just chose 400 hurdles, and you know, I started to excel in that event. And I also did other events, but I saw at a young age that was my quickest way to an Olympic gold medal. And I could do other events, and I was pretty good in other events, but I knew with just my natural speed, my raw speed and endurance, and my athletic ability, that I could run the 400 hurdles, and that would be my quickest way to like the gold medal.
Okay.
Most of the times, most of the athletes, you know, they tried to find their niche, or some couldn't run over 400, so they went to the 400 hurdles. They just quite didn't have the speed to run the 400, but I ran the 400, and I was fast in the 400, but I could also hurdle, so it was just one of those things where I knew that, you know, if I stuck with it and really put my mind to it and try, and I could win really easily.
Okay. Now, in college, you decided to go pro, is right?
Yes.
And you became an international athlete.
Yes.
Now, that must have been a really big transition. What was that like?
It was definitely a big transition, you know, going from the college level, just competing in the U.S., and now you're a professional athlete, and you're doing that as a full-time job, and competing around the world. I had to get used to traveling to Europe and adjusting to the time zone, and, you know, being away from home at periods of time, so it was a definite adjustment as far as that component, but as far as racing, I think I got there very well. I was able to adjust. I was, you know, at the top of my game, and I immediately went in and was dominating at a very young age.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, let's talk Olympics. Okay, you were in the 2000 Olympics. Now, was that a challenge for you? Because I know the year before you had some nagging issues.
Well, I mean, 1999 was my first full year on the professional circuit,
mm-hmm.
and I made the world championship team. And when I got to the Worlds, I was favored to win, but I didn't make it out the first round. And which was a learning lesson. You know, it was the first time competing on that level at a high international stage. So by the time 2000 came around, you know, I was well prepared and knew what to expect going into the Olympic Games. So pretty much in 2000, the Olympics was held in September,
mm-hmm.
late September, because it was in Sydney, and their summer season and spring season is opposite of our season. So that's why I was held so late. And I had a chance to race and see pretty much my competition all year long. So I already knew who I was running against. So it was definitely better for me in 2000. I pretty much was dominating the whole year in 2000. So by the time I got to Olympic Games, I already knew my competition.
Okay. Now, what happened in 2004?
2004, I was injured. I was running hurt, had a couple of nagging injuries. Had an injured hip flexor, and I later found out I had stress fractures in both of my shins, so just wasn't a good year for me.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much injured the whole year. Strained my hamstring early on in the season. Just nagging injuries throughout the season, and I just wasn't able to put it together. I was still able to make the Olympic team. Don't even really know how, but I made it. And after I made the team, I just broke down. I could barely walk. It was just tough for me to train. And,
ouch.
Yeah, I was like, I made it to the semifinal of the Olympic Games, but I was just in too much pain to continue. So I knew I was injured. I knew I was hurt, but I didn't want to go see the doctor because I was the defending Olympic champion. I wanted to defend my title.
Mm-hmm.
And after I didn't make it to the final, I immediately went to go see the team doctors, and that's when they told me that their advice for me was to stop right now. Do not run anymore for the rest of the season because I had stress fractures in both shins. So, and then their advice for me was to either take time off or to have surgery on my shins, well, to take out the bone marrow and replace it with rods.
What? What?
Yes. They wanted to operate on me, take out the bone marrow in my shin, and replace it with some metal rods.
Oh.
I definitely didn't want to do that.
No, you wouldn't be where you are now.
No.
So what did you do? What alternative method did you choose to work through this issue?
Well, I mean, basically you just have to take time off.
Mm-hmm.
You got to let the bone heal on itself. So you can speed up the process by using a bone stimulator.
Mm-hmm.
With speed up the process of the bone healing. But the recovery time is like 6 months to a year.
Mm.
So, you know, taking 6 months off means that's your season. We train 10 months out of the year, so train and compete for 10 months out of the year. So I basically had to take a year off.
Well, I know that probably put a little bit of a damper on your sunshiny day. I mean, a whole year? What do you do in a whole year? What did you do a whole year?
I didn't do anything, really. I mean, my sons were born in that year, so I was able to spend a lot of time with them.
Okay.
In that first year they were born. I have twin sons.
So,
you know, I guess that's why we have the bond we do have today, because I was with them every day. For that first year, that's about it. You know, just raising them, being there for them, and just going through treatment.
So after 2000, after that, you had to get back out there. Now, was it difficult for you to step back on the track? Were you concerned that you would re-injure yourself? Because I know some athletes, once they hurt themselves really bad, they kind of like gun shy about going back out there again. Did you have that feeling?
Yeah, I did. Once my injury healed, you know, I just wanted to be cautious. I didn't want to hurt anymore. So
mm-hmm.
once I got back out there, I just started training just to run the 400.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just trained to run the 400. I knew I was a pretty good 400-meter runner. Just didn't run a lot of open 400s. I figured, you know, if I get back there and just really train for the event, I can compete well in that. And when I got back out there, I competed well. I couldn't get in a lot of meets because the meet promoters were, they didn't really recognize me as a 400 meter runner. They knew me as a hurdler, and they wanted to invite me to races to run the hurdles. But that's not what I wanted to do, and I wasn't training for that. So it was difficult for me to get races. So I got back out in 06, and it wasn't a good year for me. And I came back 07 with the mindset that I was still going to run the 400. And fortunately, my training paid off, and I dropped the fast time, and I was able to get invited to more meets.
Mm-hmm. Now, what made you get back on the saddle with the hurdles? What made you go back out there and start doing hurdles over again?
Well, I mean, I knew I had took some time off, and you know, my legs were feeling good, and in 07 after competing in the 400. You know, I went to the World Championships and I placed third. That was the highest I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking at the event and seeing the other guys running, and I just knew that if I got back in the hurdles, I can beat them and be back on top. So I started that train again. And it was difficult. Just, you know, not hurling for so long and trying to get my timing down. It took a lot of time. It took time. I didn't win a single race all year long until the Olympic Games in 08.
Really?
The first race I won. Yeah. So it was a struggle. It was, just couldn't get it together. You know, I had doubts. I was, you know, questioning myself, but, you know, I had a lot of support from my family and friends. Just, you know, they kept telling me I could do it. And, you know, once I made that team, that was just the first stepping stone. And, you know, I just kept at it, kept training hard, and it finally clicked at the right time.
Now, I have a big question to ask you. I have always wanted to know. How did it feel when you won your first gold and you wrapped the flag, American flag, around you and ran that lap? How did that feel?
Oh, it was definitely a special moment. You know, growing up, watching the Olympic Games and seeing all the, my idols come through and, you know, win gold medals and run around with the flag, and for me to be on that same stage, it was an indescribable feeling. It's definitely, you know, it was the highest moment in my life, and definitely a happy moment for me just to, you know, set a goal like that and achieve it on my first try. I mean, I know many athletes that, you know, competed for a while on the professional stage and never even got a chance to make two Olympic Games, or if they did, they never even got a chance to medal. For me to do it, I was just so blessed and so happy.
Yeah, I know I would have been stoked, and I did see that event too, so I can tell you that behind my TV set, there was this woman screaming and yelling. That was me. Now, you couldn't hear that. Because, I mean, I have to say, I guess you could say I'm an old track head, okay? I go way back. My idol was Evelyn Ashford. That's how far back I go. Who is yours?
Growing up, I'd say Carl Lewis, Edwin Moses, and Michael Johnson. Those are my idols.
Okay.
And then it was crazy because, like I said, being from Atlanta, the Olympic Games, came to Atlanta and I was able, you know, to experience that, you know, the Olympics right in my backyard, as Michael Johnson being one of my idols in 96, and just, you know, 3 years later, I'm running on the relay team with him, so.
Oh, so I know you were stoked.
Definitely. Yeah. I was like, man, I can't believe this.
So, yes. I think 96. That concludes our interview with Angelo Taylor, and I have to tell you, he is an amazing athlete because not many athletes can do exactly what he did. And if you watch the Olympic Games, you know exactly what he did. He stepped in for one of the athletes on the 4x400 relay team who had injured his leg, really broke his leg, in the semifinals of the event, and he really did put his all into that race, although they didn't win gold. And officially, but in my eyes, they did win gold because with his help and his ability and his strength as a 400-meter hurdler, he was able to hold on and get that silver medal. And that in itself is the definition of a true, true champion, someone who truly represents. And you can't get a better description of it. There were so many available descriptions or definitions of championship and being true champions in this particular Olympic Games. And this is just one highlighted point that I'm pulling out from what I was able to see at those games. And I have to tell you, you may not think that I sit and listen to these shows when I rebroadcast them. I do. I replay them because I really enjoy the show or there was a lesson I learned in the show. And each time I listen to myself, I learn something as well. And this particular show was very important for me at this particular time in my life. So I, again, learned another lesson. I learned a lesson about not only good sportsmanship, setting goals, having dreams, just being true to who you are, true to your nature, and sticking with what you understand and taking your dreams to the next level. And this is something that this gentleman was able to do. And we are so proud. We at the Coco Express Show are so proud to have had him on our show. We are so proud that he was able to accomplish something very special that not every American can do. And there are not too many other words that I can really say. Hopefully, we'll be able to have him back on the show if his schedule permits, because as I was watching one of the other Olympic interviews of some older Olympians out of the Philadelphia area, they said pretty much that the Olympics opens doors. And if you're prepared, you can go through those doors. Well, the doors have been open for him because he's competing in several other Olympics. However, I'm not sure if he's going to compete in the next Olympics in Brazil or what his story is going to be. We would love to find that out. However, the doors are open and opportunity awaits him. And we just have to wait and see what is going to happen and what Angelo Taylor is going to do for us next, because he has shown that he has the ability to do some really phenomenal things. And we are definitely proud. So with that in mind, I'm not going to hold you too long. I just wanted to replay that one because I let that one slip away for a little too long and I intended on doing it. And now was a great opportunity because I needed it as much as I felt that you should hear it again. Once again, I would like to give all my listeners and all my listeners, my loyal listeners, a shout out because you guys have been amazing to me. I would also like to say to Double Exposure, thank you so much. I mean, you've made a lot of things happen for me that are great, and I truly appreciate everything that you do and your staff. They are all wonderful and amazing people. And I'd like to also thank my crew, because, you know, I very rarely thank my crew and stuff like that. I have a few people that help me out, and they don't always want their names to be said or anything like that, but they're amazing people as well. You know, you guys, you know who you are, and I appreciate you guys so much. I know I tell you 1,000 times over and over again, but I do appreciate each and every one of you for how you helped me make this happen, because it's not easy, and I'm not that easy to get along with all the time. I have my moments. But we're going to keep this going. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep bringing you stuff that we find relevant, interesting, funny, fun. And hopefully you'll enjoy it. And like I said before, please feel free to get back in contact with us to let us know if there's something that you want us to highlight or showcase, because we are here for you. So I'm going to go now. You have a wonderful Saturday, and we will definitely be back in contact with you through the Coco Express Show. Have a beautiful day, great weekend, and wonderful week. Until next Saturday.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.